I am one of those people who knows what it was like to be without Christ, who was living for the weekends, who was chasing after satisfaction in all the wrong places. And because of that, the fact that I stumbled into a church, I was actually chasing after a girl. Okay, so a girl and I started dating. She was a kind of nominal Christian, and her parents happened to go to this church. And so I went in, and it was the start of a journey for me where, you know, I did lots of wrestling with apologetics, reading lots of books, but then God encountered me in a really powerful way through some prophetic words and just spoke to my heart, and nothing has been the same since. And so I was actually saved in the church that I'm now an elder at, called the King's Arms here in Bedford. And I love it. It's my favorite place to be. And I'm so privileged by the fact that I get to kind of be paid and to do for a living the thing that I honestly, if money wasn't an issue, then I'd want to be here doing lots of the stuff that I do anyway. But I got saved, as I said, sort of through, God used Alpha as a tool to kind of, you know, touch my heart. And so I'm massively passionate about it. And so when Julian said to me, he's like, well, why don't you share a few stories about stuff that's happened in Alpha? And I'm thinking, man, there's so many. I'm so, so many years. But what I'd love to do is just encourage you for a moment by sharing a few of my favorites for over the last 2 or 3 years. Does that sound okay? You guys like stories, right? Okay, we like stories. Stories are always good. It's great to know that God's on the move. And listen, I am going to give you a Bible verse just to make it an official meeting this morning, okay? And so if you were to go to Luke chapter 10, there's two things that I'm going to draw out of this, okay? And Luke chapter 10 is all about Jesus sending out the 72. And it says this, okay, verses 1 and 2 is all I'm going to read to you. It says, the Lord now chose 72 of the disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. And so pray to the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest, and ask him to send more workers into his fields. Okay, so that's it. That's the only verse I'm going to quote, I think. But in the midst of what we see there, there is this engagement that God calls us to be in a relationship and in partnership in him in reaching the harvest. But there's two things I'm going to draw out, okay? The first is the most important, that it's all about God being on the move, all right? Because the fact that what we're doing is it's the places that he plans to visit. And ultimately, and I hope this reassures you guys, I can't save anyone. Neither can you. It's God by his spirit that wakes people's hearts up. And we have the opportunity of partnering with him as he does that. And so that means that we can, as it were, take a step to engage with him and what he wants to do, but also trust that the results are in him. Because it's for us, it's obedience, the success, not our performance. Does that make sense? So reassuring, and has to be the context for everything else I'm going to share. Okay, now let me give you some examples of how we're seeing God on the move, and some of my favorite stories. Okay, there was one guy I got to meet. His name was Farhood, and Farhood I met in our foyer on a Sunday morning, and I just said to him, "Hey, mate, now what was it that kind of brought you along to church this morning?" And he said to me, he was a little bit nervous. He was an Iranian Muslim. Okay, and he said to me, "Look, Steve, I've kind of come here. Oh, he didn't know my name at the time, but I've come here because of the fact that last night I had a dream. And the dream, I felt like there might be a God. And so I wanted to find out what it was. And so I went on the internet and I looked for what is the closest mosque or what is the closest church? And you were closer." So he comes in and happens to come to the King's Arms because we were closer to where he lived. And for a number of weeks, he would stand right at the back of the auditorium. We always thought it was a little bit strange, just right at the back, you know, chest and back pressed up against the wall. And so we said, "Look, now, Farhood, why don't you come down and kind of sit with us down here?" And he said, "Look, I can't go forward because of the fact that I don't know how you guys stand at the front over there because the weight is so significant." He literally could see a spiritual weight. Anyway, he came along to kind of Alpha with us, and he gave his life to Christ on Mother's Day and got baptized last year, which is just a beautiful, beautiful thing. Let me tell you about another lady I met called Anu. Now, any of you who have been involved in Alpha will know that sometimes you have people who are sort of sat back and relaxed and just want to listen. There are other times when people are kind of so excited and so into it, they want to lean forward, they really want to wrestle with the things that you're talking about. Well, Anu was probably on the most aggressive end of that kind of person. And what I found out was that she was a law student at the time. And Anu, after my first talk, I came off and like, I really hope this is okay. I've been involved in lots of courses, but I said, "Oh, how did you find it?" She slated me. She ripped me apart. She was like, "This is terrible." She said, "No, I can't believe that you're bringing these things to us and you're suggesting their arguments. There's no evidence there. It was so poor." And it kind of really sort of put me back on my shell. She was so aggressive. Anyway, she went away. I was convinced that she wasn't going to come back. The following week, she comes back. And she, the first thing she said to me, Steve, I need to know, how can I become a Christian? I'm sorry, what? Like, what happened? Anyway, so she had been back in London. She had been in a real wrestle with her mental health and with her studies and with all sorts of different things. And she had said to me, you know, that week, that she was at a point when she got to the place where she was like, I don't know whether I want to live anymore. And she got a knife from the kitchen cupboard and she put it over her arm. And I won't go into any other detail there, recognizing who else is in the room. But, you know, and she said, but in that moment, she felt like she heard God's voice and that God said to her, stop, I have plans for you. And it was because of that that she came back. Anyway, she's been helping me on Alpha for the last, you know, few courses now. And she's just a phenomenal woman. But it was in that moment that God moved. Let me tell you about another couple who I got to meet. Similarly, just asked the question, hey, look, what was it that made you come along to Alpha? And this one guy, Jason, he said to me, well, it was I was in the bath. And I said, I'm sorry, you were in the bath? There aren't many stories that start like that. You were in the bath. Okay. And he said, yeah, no, I was in the bath. And the window was open. And he said, I was looking at the tree outside of the window and I started looking at the leaves. I said, you're looking at the leaves. Okay. And he said, yeah, I realized that there are so many different colors of green on that tree. And I said that, he said, that can't be an accident. I think there's a God. And so he called his girlfriend in, her name was Alicia. And he said, Alicia, look at the number of colors on that tree. I think there's a God. We should do an Alpha course. And so he searched Alpha and our course started that night. So he came along, he put his trust in Jesus about 3 weeks into that course. And again, he's been a kind of leader in our church for the last 18 months or so as he's helping newcomers get connected into church, which is kind of cool, right? Fun stories. Should I do one more, two more? One of the craziest stories, okay, which I love, is a lady that I met, but I only really met her two-thirds of the way through the course, just before our Holy Spirit evening, okay? And this lady was called Maxine. And we had this awkward conversation where I said, hey, how are you finding the course? And she said, I'm not enjoying it. I was like, okay, this is not very encouraging. And so I said to her, well, you know, start a different tack. What was it that made you come along? And she said, well, I was having these real bad family problems. And so I decided that I would try praying. I said, oh, great. How did that go? And she said, it was terrible. I was like, oh, okay. So you tried praying, you know, it went terribly. You know, tell me what happened then. Well, she said, It was going so badly, I realized I didn't know how to pray. So I got a Bible and I started reading the Bible. I said, great, how did that go? And she said, it went terrible. I didn't know what to read or where to start. I just kept looking for it. I didn't know what to do. And but she said she stumbled across this word that said Alpha and Omega. She said, I didn't know what Alpha and Omega meant. So I went on the internet and I searched for Alpha. And, you know, I saw there was this course. And so that's why I end up here. I was like, well, great. How did you end up on the King's Arms course? Now, here's the crazy bit, okay, is that she said to me, well, of course, you put the King's Arms app on my phone. And I said, I'm sorry, you had the King's Arms app on your phone. She's like, yeah, no, I never put the app on my phone, but it was already on there. You must have done it from one of those automatic updates. And so I sort of looked at her very confused and said, hold on, you're telling me that the King's Arms app was on your mobile phone? She said, yes, and I never did it. So here's the only thing that I can put it down to. Either she did it and she'd forgotten, number one. Number two, somebody else did it for her. Or my favorite suggestion is the fact that some angel rocked up in the middle of the night, put the app on her phone in order for her to come along to the King's Arms Alpha course. Anyway, she was there. That night, I shared a message. I asked the Holy Spirit to come and I get to pray for her to receive Christ. And you know, honestly, from someone who I know I'm an evangelist, but I love the fact that I get the privilege of being up close and personal as people's lives are changed and people put their trust in Jesus. And I want that for every single person. And so whilst there are always, you know, so many stories, I'll give you one kind of final one very quickly, because I want to dive into a number of other things just as I share for the brief time that I've got. Is there was one lady who I said to her, you know, what was it that kind of brought you along to King's Arms? And she said, well, you know, I came along a couple of times. It felt like a concert. There was such great music that I decided that I'd come along and explore this at the same time. And she said to me, my family are loving it. I was like, oh, that's a strange thing to say. You know, what makes you say that? I said, well, you know, my family have just said to me that they've been praying for me for 30 years. Anyway, this lady, Sharon, again, is now very much part of our church and she kind of loves it there. And, you know, the reason I land with that one, guys, is the fact that your prayers are powerful and they're effective. And actually every single prayer, no matter whether it takes, you know, a single evening or many years actually is having a difference. And for people like Sharon, she would point back to the fact that her family's prayers were part of building up and the reason. Now, of course, someone who, you know, is coming from several hundred miles away and says to you, look, God's on the move and here shows all these stories, it might paint a picture that every single one of the people that we have on Alpha has these dramatic stories. In reality, that's not the case, okay? But what I trust is that every single person that I get to interact with, I leave a step closer to Christ in some way, shape or form. And that can be every single one of us. So I'll read you a little quote out by a guy called Cliff Netchell, which I really like, okay? And hopefully this will be an encouragement for you when it comes to loving other people up there in Perth. He says that a person's coming to Christ is like a chain with many links. There's the first link, middle links, and the last link. And there are many influences and conversations that precede a person's decision to convert to Christ. I know the joy of being the first link at times, a middle link usually, and occasionally the last link. But God has not called me to only be the last link. He's called me to be faithful and to love all people. You see, I want to help people take a delicate step, no matter where I leave them, as so they know both about the goodness of God and the positivity that kind of comes through the church community and so on. But ultimately, want to help people take a step, trusting that God is on the move. Does that sound okay? These are encouraging stories, right? Now, listen, what God calls us to, guys, and this is where we'll kind of land, is that we partner with him, okay? Pray to the Lord of the harvest. And so in the midst of that, one of the things that I do now at church is oversee our prayer teams and our kind of prayer life at the church. And so right in the middle of lockdown, we were, to be honest with you, wrestling and thinking to ourselves, look, what is this going to look like for us to be able to encourage the church to take a step forward in extraordinary prayer at this time? And we were sat in my garage, totally distant with the lady who also kind of helps me to do it. And her and I were having this conversation, and to be honest, it was feeling miserable. And it was one of those days where the rain was crazy. It was pounding it down outside, huge puddles. I'm sure in Scotland, you don't know what this is like, but, you know, lots and lots of rain. And we kind of sat there at a distance thinking, what's this going to look like? And, you know, she happened to say, look, you know, well, why don't we go for a prayer walk? Well, maybe it's a good idea. You know, what would it look like if in this time when you can't go in people's houses and you can't gather in person, what would it look like for us to start praying for our town? And then we started dreaming, like, well, you know, what would it be like if we just told the whole church, why don't we all go doing prayer walks? And, you know, everyone can go out. At that point, it was you can only go out for an hour a day for exercise. But maybe we could turn that into a way that we can really glorify God. And so we did, and we put out to the church, look, why don't we do it for this month through August? Why don't we throw ourselves at God and say, look, you know, use us powerfully to bless the town that we live in? Because honestly, I love Bedford. And although I've bounced around a lot, I've moved from Scunthorpe to Nottingham to Coventry to Milton Keynes and then to Bedford. I've fallen in love with this place. This is where God met me. I found my wife. I found the church that I want to be part of. It's where I feel called to serve and to be. And I love it. And I want to demonstrate my love for it in as many practical but also spiritual ways as we can. And so well, my encouragement for you to in the midst of you starting to think about what does prayer look like in your town is to want to bless what God is already doing there. Okay. So we put this to our church, and I'm so pleased to say that, you know, that people really responded. And so we covered over 1,000 roads in Bedford, and that's just over 40% of the town. And so if you imagine a map, we started tracking every single street, and it was spinning out like a spider. You could see everyone where people logged the street. Oh, right, I've prayed for this one. And what was really special was that practically speaking, people made it so unique for them. So there are some people who went as a family and they would make a kind of regular trip out, or even as whether it was a one-off or on a daily occasion. There'd be some people who would just say, you know what, instead of driving, I'm going to walk to work and I'm going to pray on my journey back and forth. There'd be other people on their regular trip to the supermarket or to drop children off at school said, you know what, I'm going to do this. I've got friends who decided they were going to do the same loop early in the morning, kind of before everyone else had got up, and just decided to prayer walk at the same time. And we encourage people, whether it's a sprint and whether it's a very specific fast, you know, short walk that people are doing, or whether people decide, you know what, I'm going to commit a whole afternoon. So I'm going to try and cover as many streets as I can through this place. But I've got this dream that every single street in my town would have had people on it praying for it. How cool would that be? And then we encourage other people to think, right, what does it look like for you to listen out to the Holy Spirit? So ask him, Where does he want you to go? Maybe he's got good things to speak to you about in the midst of going to those particular streets. And so people were both being prophetically led or also just pragmatically led, thinking, look, how can we put our feet onto the streets of our town to bless it? And then to pray. As I said, the verse there talks about how we should pray to the Lord of the harvest. And, you know, he is in charge of the harvest. Just ask him to send workers out into the streets. And so we would pray, God, would you bless this street? Would you bless the people who are in the houses here? Would you bless the businesses here? Would they prosper? Would they know safety? Would they know the kind of end to abuse and to, you know, some of the things that would be against his kingdom? You know, would we pray against anxiety, and we'd pray for the protection, and we'd pray that, you know, there would be an end to COVID and the coronavirus, which is kind of sweeping across the nation just now. And so getting people to partner with what we believe is God's heart at this time in our nation. Now, just a couple of things that I would say in the midst of this, guys, because you might be thinking to yourself, well, you know, I've never been for a prayer walk before. What does that even look like? Well, the first thing is take the pressure off, okay? I actually did a radio interview about this, and the guy said to me, so hold on a minute. You know, I'm literally kind of live in front of, you know, hundreds of people in the kind of region that we're in on the radio. And he said to me, so do you do this out loud? Do people not look at you a little bit strangely? I was like, look, don't worry, okay? You know, to anyone else, it looks like we're going for a walk. And so, you know, whether we're praying in our heads or even just speaking quietly to ourselves or speaking to the person alongside us. And so it's very normal, very natural. We're not trying to make a scene, okay? But at the same time, we're trusting that our prayers are powerful and effective. God hears every single one. And I think we need to be encouraged by that, okay? The other thing I'd say to you, though, is that what we encourage the church to do is to get into conversations to see what God might have preordained for you to do. And so, again, you might think to yourself, right, he's going to ask me to do something really weird now. It's going to make me feel uncomfortable. Let me start with this. If you smile and if you say hello to people, you'd be amazed what sort of conversations open up, okay? Because, you know, the start of any evangelistic conversation can always be a, hey, how are you? It's not rocket science, okay? And so let me tell you a couple of stories in the midst of that. There was a lady that I met, you know, when I was on one of these prayer walks, and her name was Christine. And the conversation simply started because I said to her, oh, hey, how you doing? Aren't they lovely dogs? And so she wanted to start talking to me about her dogs. And the poor dog wasn't very well. It had an eye infection. And so we got chatting about the dog and how it was doing. But, do you know, it wasn't long before she said to me, do you know what? Things are so hard right now. Her husband was now blind and was having a really difficult time. And her son had had cancer and was going through this crazy tough season. And, you know, she said that she was struggling with arthritis, and she wasn't able to clean the floors in the way that she could anymore. And, you know, on the street, literally on a corner, I was able just to listen to her story and offer to pray for her. Offer to not, you know, hey, I would say something, I'll reiterate this in a moment, but I would say something like, you know what, I'm actually out on a prayer walk. Could I pray for you? And you know what? She starts weeping on the street, and she starts saying to me how amazing. I can't believe that people would do. I can't believe that you would be sent to me today of all days, when I've been going through such a tough time, just to encourage me. And she said to me, look, I start crying. And she's like, she said to me, don't stop doing this, will you? People need to have encouragement from people like you. And it's just such a precious thing when you realize that actually God wants to break into just normal situations as we stop, as we're willing to listen, okay? Now, in the midst of that, therefore, the final thing I guess I would encourage you to do when you are on these prayer walks is to not miss the opportunity to show, to demonstrate, and to speak about Jesus. Now, that could be very simple things. And so it could be simple things like the Holy Spirit giving you a nudge to pick up some litter as you go, or to simply, you know, buy something for someone. This again happened to me as I was on one of these prayer walks, where I saw a guy who just seemed to be sat on a bench. And I went and sat alongside him. His name was Michael. And he was just sort of sat on his own. And you know, I said to him, hey, man, how are you coping in these times? And he had lost his job, and he was in a position of just some loneliness and disconnection. I was like, hey, can I buy you a drink? You know, can I just buy you a pastry? Obviously, we couldn't do it. Other than anyway, that I went to get it from a shop. I brought it out. We sat 2 meters apart on a bench. And I just started to ask him his story. Anyway, in the midst of that, I said to him, look, hey, I've not been through what you're going through right now. I know that it's a really tough time, but can I show you something that helped me? And I just shared with him a little bit about Jesus. I shared with him about the fact that my life is looking so different now that I'm in a relationship with God. And I showed him a little picture that I sometimes use to be able to communicate the gospel called the three circles. And the picture kind of ends with just the privileged opportunity of saying to him, look, you know, would you like to be in a relationship with God? And he said, yes. So right there on a prayer walk, on a bench, I got to lead this guy to Jesus. And you know what? It's an absolute privilege. And every time that we go out, we need to look out for those opportunities. And so whether I got to pray for people who are moving house, I got to pray for people who's had their siblings and in hospital as they were going through such a tough time. And we had story after story that started to come in of how people like felt like God spoke to them. And, you know, people started to engage with the privilege of what it means to love their streets. And you know what? Taking responsibility for the place that we live is something I believe that's on God's heart. And so realizing that says, I'm going to take responsibility for this place. I'm going to pray for my neighbors because I believe that God loves them and is for them. Okay. And so, you know, in lots of respects, I hope both through the stories and through that kind of practical demonstrations of what we've been doing, it kind of inspires you to think, you know what, maybe God's on the move here, because I've got no doubt that he is. Okay. And so outside of wanting to pray for you guys, that's all that I kind of had. Are you guys happy if I pray for you? No matter where you are on your kind of sofa, in your living room, kitchen, lounge, just close your eyes and engage with God for a minute, because I want to pray that his hand would be upon you and the Holy Spirit would speak to you even at this time. And, you know, it's strange, because even as you kind of engage with God right now, I was praying for you guys this morning and I was stood up in my lounge and, you know, bouncing around with the children and enjoying their kids' work. And the reason I believe that God is on this for a moment is because twice already in our conversation while we've been together, it's kind of come up again. Someone, we were talking about obviously geological movement with the Munros. And we were talking about the kind of, Lynn, I think it was, who mentioned earthquakes at one point. And the picture that I had was, I felt as you guys begin to engage with prayer walking, it's almost like I saw this massive crack right the way across Perth. It was almost like I saw the kind of fault lines, as it were, and then just something crack open. I know normally kind of natural disasters are one of those things. I'm not going to go into an apologetic about it. One of those things that people wrestle with around God. I felt like there was a spiritual change happening where as you pray, there was this crack happening where hard hearts were beginning to open up. And there was a spiritual shift in what feels like an area, which just, it's just almost like this kind of thick layer has come across people. And so, God, in the name of Jesus right now, I want to pray for that. Yes. And I want to pray, God, for every single person right now who's in the sound of my voice and who's kind of engaging and listening to you. I want to pray, bless them, but God, also draw them deeply into your plans. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that you are the Lord of the harvest. And I want to thank you, God, that you have prepared good things in advance. And it was in your mercy and by your wisdom, Lord God, that you gave us the ability in our hands to share the greatest message of all time, the message of hope, the message of love, the message of forgiveness, the message of a future. And God, I want to bless these people and pray, God, that they would carry that deep in their hearts. And it would not just overwhelm them personally. Wow, he saved me. But God, that they would carry that to the neighbors and the businesses and the streets, everywhere that they go.
Yeah.
God, but we entrust this to you, recognizing, God, that it's not on us. But God, we want to celebrate obedience. And as we partner with you, God, we trust for a harvest and we trust for fruitfulness and we pray for the Alpha course that's going on right now. And we pray, God, would you bring people to the saving knowledge of what it means to be in a relationship with you? And we commit it all to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen, you guys. Amen. Guys, I'm so sorry that I can't come and lay hands on all of you right now and, you know, pray and prophesy specifically and, you know, but I trust that that's encouraging for you.